A school of fish, a pack of wolves, a clatter of spiders, a prudence of vickers, a reno of balloons. All but the last one are true ones, and I'm working on that last one. These are collective nouns. English has a fun thing, many fun things, in that it has special names for groups or collections of people or things or animals, and they're called collections, collective nouns. I want to talk to you about what you think the collective noun for Christian is. Now, I know you know what the collective noun for a bunch of Presbyterians is. Thank you. Committee. I knew you had it. There's two or three are gathered together, and they'll be a committee. Unless they are the Scottish Presbyterians, and then as whenever there's two or three Presbyterians gathered, there's always a fifth. They're doing the vote in 11 days. They've got to get them a solution out there. This gospel, what is it about? Is it strange to you? If you have a problem, then you go and you talk to them, especially one-on-one, then you gather the committee, the commission together. Could be PJC, I don't know. And off you go, and you go there, and you say, hey, and then you get the cross, and you go that. And now some of you are out there, and you're thinking, you know what, I'm going to write this down, figure out, and do a book, and do a guideline, do a committee, and do a standing operating procedure, and do standing rules of how we deal with conflict in the church. Yes, the title of the sermon today is How to Deal with Conflict in the Church. And then we have the step-by-step process that we go through, and we do all that. And us Presbyterians, we love our process. We love that stuff. We're comfortable with that. We're there about procedures and policies and rules. And I'm thinking, you know, the PJC kind of sounds like a permanent judicial commission. I love when I get that job. That's great. As long as everybody behaves, you don't meet. All right. But the permanent judicial commission may be established by this, may be going by this. You know, and some people get into this and they go, you know, this is about sin against you. And they think about, what are sins against you? Of course, sin is any want of conformity unto or transgression of the law of the will of God. Westminster Shorter Catechism. And so people get on and think, what's a sin against you? What's a real sin? What's sin against what's that? Now the problem is, in some of the oldest manuscripts, the against you isn't in there. So, but you don't want to go crazy nuts on that. But some people do. They go on that. Some people say, well, you know, the two and three gather together, you know, that goes back to the Jewish law, and it's a nod to the Jewish law that you can't accuse someone with just a single accusation. It's got to be one or more than one person to accuse a person to get convicted and get tried, and that's a nod to that. Some say, well, you know, two or three are going back to the Torah, where the Torah and the people gather together, and you always study in a group, and that's the group kind of thing, and that's the way we're doing around the law. Are there any NASCAR fans here? Okay, got one or two. All right, I hope I don't offend you. There's a lot more back in Ohio. You know, NASCAR. You know what this is? These are really, really, really good machines. Highly tuned pieces of machines and highly trained drivers and cars. You know, to the thing that changes the car tire thing, you know, that thing? That, $1,800. Wow. That's a lot of money. And they do that all. And they go out there and they get trophies and money and sponsorships and things everywhere and, you know, drinking the milk, all this stuff. You know, but me, they're really not going anywhere. They just know how to go nowhere really fast. You know, I mean, come on, give me a right turn. Come on, something. You know, left turn, straight, left turn, straight, left turn, straight, run faster and faster. You're not really going anywhere. You know, how about, you know, I got errands. You know, could you get me something at Walmart? I don't know, you know. Do something useful with all that money and expertise and power and thing. But I'm thinking, you know, church is like that sometimes. We get really good and going around in circles. We get better and faster and more efficient, and we have meetings about how we can go faster and how we can get those tires changed quicker. Now we got the crew changed, we got the crew, we got the boot and everything. And it's going around. And other people are going, what are they doing? So let's zoom out. Like Google Maps, do you like Google Maps? Zoom out. And you see, where are we going with all this stuff here about you take one, you take two, you take three, and then you go in the Gentiles and the tax collectors and all this other stuff. What's going on here? See, you miss it. You're just spinning around. And I don't know about you and your relationships. I don't know, but I'm guessing they might be a little bit like mine. But I know my wife and I, we go around and around and around and around and don't get nowhere in a couple things. In fact, we have some arguments we could just plain number and save a lot of time. Number five. Okay, fine. Then, round. Faster and faster and better. And then we get it over the years, we get better at it. Let me get through that argument in a couple hours that took us, used to take us days. But if you zoom out, and this, it's not about arguing better. It's not about fighting better. It's not about rules of conflict. It is not about any of that. Because if you think that God is about retribution, God is going to get you. And labor and revenge and straighten you up and zapping you down. If you do right, if you do that, you're going to look at us and go, oh, that's how we get everybody in straight. That's how we get everybody to do the way we're supposed to do. That's how we get everybody to do that stuff that God wants to do. No, you missed it. You're at a horse track. You know, trying to watch the race. You're missing it. Because God is justice. It's not retribution. It's not getting even. It's not punishing the bad guys and rewarding good. It's not about restoring things back to things the way back. It is about restoring people. It is about relationship. It's restorative, not retribution. And we have that right here in front of us. Because all these meanings, you look at the scripture and what is required of the offender. Penalties? Penitence? Are there fines? Are you have to make everything right? You have to give back double what you took? Do you have to apologize? Do you have to say you're sorry? What is required of the offender? Did you see it? Listen. What a deal. The offender doesn't have to repent. The offender doesn't have to restore anything. The offender doesn't have to change anything. The offender goes, listen. The offender listens. That's the measure. That is relationship. Not retribution. Not the kind of justice we think about where you got to pay back, where you got to obey the laws, where you got to do all this other stuff. It's relationship. Listen. And if you look even closer, some of you might have perhaps an older Bible, and unfortunately back in the day, it used to talk to just about men like that, or that's all there was. And God bless them, the translators have tried to smooth that out over the centuries in the last couple of decades. And it says here, you read it, a member of the church, and you've gained one. Did you see that in there? If you read the Greek, it is Adelphi. Adelphos. It is brother. If a brother sins against you, if they listen to you, you have regained not a church member. This isn't about church rows and about how many letters do we have to send before we put them on the inactive roll. And do we ever want to do an inactive roll? But their grandmother's members here, and they paid it per capita. Not about any of that. It's about family. I would rather gone brother or sister sin against you than you have regained a family. Wow, I'm not going to miss it now. It's about relationships. You know people that haven't talked to some of their family for years, decades? How? What possibly could that be? You're saying, well, Christy, some of them are just crazy. They're harmful. Well, you know, this is here. It's about their relationship. If they won't listen to you, if they won't be in relationship with you, if they don't want to talk to you, if they say, get away from me, be like a Gentile and tax collector, and that's not a horrible, bad thing. Remember, Jesus got in trouble all the time for hanging out with Gentiles and tax collectors. He was a friend of theirs. A bunch of tax collectors, that would be a penalty of tax collectors. Thank you very much. He got in trouble with them, so it's not like, get them away, put them in the outer darkness where there's weeping and gnashing of teeth. That's some other scripture. No, this is be like someone that you don't agree with, you can't really stand what they do, but you still go to their house for dinner. That's what Jesus did. He went to dinner with the tax collectors and Gentiles, and he got in trouble. He didn't agree with them. He didn't got it. But guess what? He was in relationship with them. And how many dinners are we looking for in Thanksgiving, Christmas? No hands, please. Where you would have that and not spend time with them with your family. So we're going to make nice and Thanksgiving because it's important to be related to them. That is what this is about. It is about maintaining relationships. And that's what God is about. What? This is all about God? Yeah, remember, we're zooming out. And we're not saying, how fast can we go around in a circle? How fast can we go? Can we get a better car? Can we get a better thing? Can we save a second off the change of the tires? Can we do that or that? We're saying, why are we getting in the car? Where are we going? What's the purpose of this trip? And we zoom out. And it's not about solving the conflict. It's not about church membership, bros. It's not about anything except the reason we're doing this is so that we can listen to each other. So that we can be a relationship to one another. So that we can love. Paul Tillich! You can tell how old a pastor is, or at least when the pastor went to seminary, but what theologian they quote. My guys quote, and my gals quote Tillich. Tillich, Paul Tillich, big brain, hard to read, says that the first duty of love is to listen. The first duty of love is to listen. I don't know if any of you are in 12-step programs, and if you are, you better not tell me, because that's not what they do. But that meeting, if you've ever been to a meeting there, that whole meeting is pretty much listening. Listening. Being present for someone. First duty of love. You say, I don't know about that, Christy. I don't know about that. Look at Romans. Remember the Romans one? We just read about it. Romans went through and they said, what do they say to owe to people? What's the one thing you're allowed to owe somebody? Love. Pay everything else back except for the debt of love which is never repaid. Love. What if we went away from, you know, the agricultural economy, the factory economy, you know, the service economy, the barter economy, which I think we're getting into now, I don't know. Barter economy. And what if we went to the love economy? What if what you owe people and what you pay to people was love? What kind of economy would that look like? I think I got a little taste of it when my daughter, who's like, look at here, you know. My daughter was little, and you know on Father's Day, sometimes, fathers, I don't know, I did it, but sometimes you get the little coupons, you got the coupon, and it says, this is good for $1. My daughter was wonderful. Her coupons were for behaving of the doing the things that she's supposed to do anyway. I smiled and I said, like, we'll go to downtown. Okay, you're supposed to do that. Not really a coupon. But that would look like that. Would it look like that? Little, you know, good for one hug, good for a listen, good for a prayer. Good for coming over and helping you move that thing. Good for helping you move on a hot Saturday. Good for getting you a ride from the laundromat. Good for getting you some grapefruit juice while you're in the hospital because you're convinced that's the only thing that's going to cure you. Look at the list that Paul gives in Romans. You cannot follow the law all by yourself. From that list, you cannot be righteous all by yourself. Everything he said was how you are related to other people. You do not murder other people, no matter how much they need it. Do not do that. That breaks relationship. You do not covet. You do not steal. You do not bear false witness. You do not break relationships. That is how you are holy. It's not personal piety. It's not personal morality. It's not sexual ethics. It's not saying yes to these three lists of what I believe and what I don't believe, and if you don't, you're gone. It is, how are you related to others? That is how you are, and that you best be only related to them, not by what they owe you, not by what you deserve, not by what they need to pay you back, not by what they should be doing for you, not by the respect that they owe you. The only thing you should owe them is love. Right there in Romans. Still a little thing? That's okay. I'm kind of crazy most times. You know, I've preached the easy sermons the last 20, 30 years, so hey, sorry, you missed them. So now, go on with me in the scriptures. You know, and if you agree with me, just think about it. Just, you know, it's a hypothesis. We set a scientific word in church. Oh, no! Hypothesis. Just say, okay, let's say it's about relationships. Let's see how that works. Let's say it's about maintaining relationships. What you bind on earth, you bind in heaven. What you lose on earth, you lose in heaven. Whoa. That goes from what in the world is he talking about to he's talking about relationships. Well, we are connected up in earth, we'll be connected up in heaven. And what we neglect and let loose on earth, we're let loose in heaven. Whoa. I'm really going to think how I treat other people. Because how I treat them on earth has an effect on how we are in heaven. What if you got to heaven and you're alone? Wow. Now that makes way too much sense. Wherever two or three are gathered, I am there with them. Two or three. It's not, I am sorry, unless you're golfing with a foursome, it doesn't count. Out on the, you know, they say, oh, I can be as close to God in nature on the golf course as I can in church. Not unless you have two or three, because Jesus isn't playing. You don't play that way. Relationship is required for Jesus to be with you. And if you do private personal devotion, great, super. But don't make it all about you. Bring in the whole world and all Christians on time and space in your devotions. Because unless you have two or three there, Jesus is not going to come. Wow. Relationship is required for Jesus to be with us. Wow. Collective nouns are just... Have you thought about collecting nouns a little bit? You know, a name for a bunch of stuff? What is the most profound collective noun? The most profound collective noun for Christians is the Trinity of God. Whoa. A relationship so secure, so into God, that it's actually three in one. A relationship that is so close, that is so together at all times and cannot be broken. It is three in one. It is Trinity of God. Our very faith statement starts off with saying relationship is the fundamental understanding of the God we worship. If you do not understand that God is worship, Father, Son, Holy Ghost, and I'm using the family the language, do you get the relationship? If you don't understand that, you miss the basic, the atomic understanding of God is relationship. So, if you don't want to be zooming around in circles, arguing about things the way that things should be, and the way things ought to be, and the way God wants them to be, and whether or not we have enough witnesses, and whether or not we went through the procedures enough to take the person out of the church, if you don't want to do that anymore, ask yourself this. Is what I'm doing, is what we're doing, going to maintain a relationship with this person? Because I really want that person in heaven. I don't want to be alone in heaven. And if I cut off, if I bind myself up, I'll be bound up in heaven as well. So what is a gathering of Christians? Sometimes I forget to answer my own questions. You're lucky this week. I remembered. What is a gathering of Christians? Good answers are a love of Christians. Those of you who are especially paying attention to the Bible reading might come up with a listen of Christians.
I like that.
But you know what? Wouldn't it be wonderful? Wouldn't it be a great witness that if the world, not just us because we're kind of nuts and we got our own language, but if the whole world would look at a bunch of Christians and because we live out the relationship of Jesus Christ, because Jesus is with wherever there's two or three gathered, what if the whole world say, hey, see those people over there?
Yeah,
That's a Jesus of Christians. Be Jesus. Be in relationship. Amen.